Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
We are so looking forward to this week. Last time when Mama Lungu was here, we gave them some rest. But Uncle Stephen, this week it's a Malawi schedule for you. It's a busy schedule, preaching many times at many schools. And we're so glad that you can come. And the first lady, she's in England at the moment with her children. That's where your son, the pilot, is, eh? He's in England. And so all of his, how many children he's got and adopted children. It's almost 20, 30. It's a whole tribe, the Lungu tribe. But we're really looking forward to it. We want to encourage you to come and visit us this week as we have like worship and testimonies this whole week, every evening at 7 o'clock there at the NG West Church. And 7 o'clock except Thursday when JP Duman is coming. That will be at 6. So just take one or two evenings off, especially Tuesday evening. I know for all the working people, Wednesday you can sleep late till 8:30 and then come to the Waken or to the Hangbrug, you know, where we have like a breakfast. It's just a great opportunity for us to come together and to glorify God and to testify and worship Him, and also to just say that, hey, Lord, You're number one in our lives. I think on Tuesday evening especially, there's also things for the kids. So we can keep them busy while you come and rest a little bit at church, some of the parents. So you're more than welcome. Great. Now, we don't need to introduce him today, but I would like to introduce Stephen. And he's a friend of us here, in not just of Shofar here in Stellenbosch, but of all the Shofar churches. And we, Pastor Tiens, Po, where's you? Theo and Rosalind, I think I saw Theo here. Yeah. Their son and daughter, they just has gone up to African Enterprise Ministries to become the manager there. So it's what a privilege to be partnering with them for all these years. And to also just have like spiritual fathers. You know, it's so important that all of us are accountable. There's no just church that can stand on its own. And it's a privilege for us to personally to be related to Stephen, so that he can speak into our lives and point the finger when he's not happy. You know, when we try to get, he always tells me, if you have too many titles, if you get titles before your name and behind your name, then you're in trouble. I said, okay, you can sort me out. I don't like titles either, but that's, you know, but for us as a church, especially personally, it's important that we honor men in the faith and ladies in the faith that has run the race. They've been there. They've done that. You know, the things God has done in his life. I think he spoke to more than 40 presidents all over the world, sharing his testimony in the Pentagon with Obama, a lot of people. And he's never changed over all these years. And that's what I love about him. People like Angus that we've known for many years. That we also, you know, that keep us as a ministry accountable. It's great to have spiritual advisors and people that have run the race. And so we look up to you, Stephen. We receive from you this morning. Thank you for your passion. Thank you for your heart. It's always, you know, when he comes in here, just amazing how he greets the little children. You know, I learned so much about that. That the little children can relate to him. Then I realized, like, wow, that's true humility. If the children feel that somebody like him is accessible. So we just want to bless you. We want to honor you. We pray that you live to 140, you know, so that we can still get a lot of your wisdom and a lot of your energy. So would you please come up as he's going to share the word with us. Let's put our hands together. Thank you, Stephen, for being here this week. We really love you. Thank you.
We are more. Hey, you are not answering me. My wife has written me first letter today, arrived today, email. First email ever she has written it at 73. She taught me how to speak English, and I taught her how to use the computer. But for her first letter today, it was wonderful to read the love letter. Ooh, so nice. Yeah, to read that love letter. The older you get, the more you have more information from the Word of God. When I was a young man, I used to preach exactly 15 minutes. But now at 75, there's so much information that you want to give it. So you want to give it in 5 hours, even one verse. Eh? But I'll be careful here because you are white people, you like your watches. We want to. Last week I was preaching in Durban. A person came to me just out of the blue after I finished preaching on the inner healing. There were lots of tears in that church, and it took hours of praying with people. You know, some were in their 80s, but still suffering with the impact of the past. The impact of the things that happened many years ago, but they still had a problem inside here. There were some, they had unforgiveness. One lady who was raped when she was 14, now she was 81, still suffering with that impact of the past at the age of 14. So we had a wonderful ministry last week in Durban. It was wonderful. But soon after I had finished preaching and I went somewhere to sit to pray, just, you know, so often after you preach, some things happen, people want to greet you. Oh, that was a powerful message, powerful. I always like to go and hide somewhere and just sit down and pray. But someone came there where I was praying with a word of prophecy. And he says, my brother, I don't know what it means, but I want to tell you that this week there will be an attack on your life. Then I said, ooh. So I was thinking whether it is hijacking or what, or someone will kill me in the streets. I was just praying, God, protect me. Cover me under your precious blood. And just after, in that course of the week, someone comes, a young lady from Europe. So I just went and patted her on the head. Oh, bless you, my sister. Woo! She became so angry that I was trying to rape her. You see that attack? Just patting her on her shoulder, and she got angry and interpreted the whole thing badly. But the Lord had warned me that you must be careful. There is a satanic movement now which is going, and let me warn you, brothers and sisters, this movement is going from the pit of hell, even calling a husband that I'm having your affair with your wife. And they call sometimes at odd hours where your mind is not ready. Are we together? Where your mind is, or somewhere a woman will call your husband or wife and so on. And I've had 3 calls at 2 a.m. in the morning. How they get these numbers, you don't know. They know how to get to those numbers. So we have a challenge around the world which we are facing in these last days. So that's an encounter I had last week. God blessed and an attack. Are we together? When in the fullness of that blessing, remember there will be an attack. There will be the transfiguration, but there will be something down the hill. When you are on the transfiguration, expect something down the hill. Okay? So we are living in these last days where we need to be aware of what the evil one. Romans chapter 1 there's always there'll be inventors of evil. You get that, eh? People will be inventing evil, only evil. Can you imagine that there are some people who invent a virus? Just to invent a virus, for what? They like to cause problems. And so they'll be inventors of evil and so on. So that's what the testimony I had from last week. God blessed, but after the blessing, there was an attack. But thank God that when you are aware of these things, you are ready when these things come. Because they are target people like Sears as a leader. They target the leadership to bring confusion. To bring confusion. Some, they would say, well, wish this church was up there. But Sears is not doing it well. They will come with such kind of confusion. So you must be ready when such kind of things, because they are so good to come and imitate as born again. They will speak fake tongues, and you think they are real. So one has got to be very careful what we are facing in these days. So this morning, I want to share with you, and greetings first from my dear wife. She says, I must greet you. Amen. You receive the greeting? I'll tell you that the church was smiling. Amen. Yeah, man, what a blessing for the wife God has given me. I want to thank God for her. Now, this morning I want to speak about three types of prisoners. Three types of prisoners. I've traveled extensively around the world, and some of you will never be there in some of the islands I've been. Islands where you are not allowed to greet with your own hands. It's a taboo to shake hands, but to rub nose. Yeah, taboo to shake hands, but to rub nose. So one area I had to, you know, shut my mouth. I thought they were going to kiss me. Yeah. So you have to, you know, there are some areas you just greet shoulders about seven times. You know, hug with shoulder to shoulder, seven times. Yeah? And so you go to those countries where they do some strange things of the greeting and so on. But, you know, going in those areas, I've preached in many big prisons. Remembering that I preached in Sacramento, the largest prison ever in the United States. That prison spends $50 million a month. Just one prison. $50 million a month. And so they'd given me all the scan my hand to go in prison, and I would go about 8 o'clock, come up, out about 10 o'clock, because there was so much revival going on. The Spirit of God moved among prisoners, and one of them had the tattoos, the whole face, satanic tattoos. And his name was George, and he ended up nicknamed Bishop George, because now he has got a PhD in theology. But he can tell you, I killed more than 100 people in my lifetime. And he had 6 life sentences. So that means he's there forever. But during that time, God moved mightily. And the following year, the prisoners themselves bought a ticket for me. Have you ever seen prisoners buying an air ticket for you? They bought and business class for that matter. Bought by prisoners. So I flew back to America to preach, and they gave me the same permission, 8 to 10 o'clock in the night. I had breakfast in prison, lunch in prison, dinner in prison. And so after the Spirit of God moved there, Bishop had a rule that a new inmate who comes there, if he's not born again by 2 days, they warned him, will kill you. for him killing another, killing another person was no big deal. But he was truly born again. Loved the Lord very much. But he had rules. So, these are the prisons I preached around the world. I was in London, went to this one of the biggest prisons in Australia and Switzerland. The Swiss prison is almost like a playground, really, where Fridays they allow you to go be with your wife. You come back on Sunday evening at 4. That's not a prison. But it's a prison. Yeah, so I preached in many different... So in my life, I've seen 3 types of prisoners. This is what I want to talk about this morning. And I've been, mainly when I go to countries like those in America and, you know, Ohio, New Jersey, Georgia, and Louisiana, I want to go to museums. I like to go and see how slaves were brought from Africa to America. So I went to some of these museums with my wife, Rachel. My wife, I found my wife, I said, Steve, I can't handle this. Let me go out. I can't handle it. She was crying all the time as we saw the torture, the brutality, how black people were brought to America in chains. And so we went also to Zanzibar. We went, some of you have been to Zanzibar, you go in these caves, you see the little places, and it's still stinking up to now. And you go to these places, you see how slaves were kept there, you know, they had to help themselves inside with the stink and so on, and the chains and so on. So, been going to these places, I've been to Germany, to in the prisons there, and to see how in the Holocaust and so on, these million Jews who were slaughtered there, and I have left those places in tears every time, in tears, crying, God, how can a human being do that to another human being? So that's about the prison. But now I'm actually talking about 3 types of prisoners. Is in John chapter 8. Let's read John chapter 8 if you have your Bibles. In John chapter 8, Jesus was talking about with the Jews. And this was the discussion with the Jews from verse 31 to 36. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. If you hold." That means if you hold, stay there in the teachings of our Lord Jesus, you are truly my disciples. Because if you leave the teachings of Jesus, you are in something else. You are in something else. But if you hold on the teaching of Jesus, then you are my disciples. That's what our Lord Jesus was telling the Jews. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth. Now, knowing Jesus is the truth. Knowing Jesus is the way. Knowing Jesus is the life. And young people, they say, I'm going for a party where they drink, they smoke, they womanize, and so on. They think they are enjoying. No, they are not enjoying. But when you know Jesus, you have started enjoying. Amen? Oh, I thought there were many good amens here. Hey, man. And, you know, I told you my testimony. Before I got saved, I was an angry boy. I never laughed from the age of 6. The first time I laughed was the night, 7 o'clock, I was a sinner. 7 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock in the evening, I was a murderer. I was a drug addict. I was a rejected boy. There was no joy. There was no peace. But 8 o'clock, I heard the message of our Lord Jesus. That night, I took my AK-47 and all my bombs. I went forward, knelt down, invited Jesus. Joy came in. Hallelujah. The peace of God flooded in. So for the first time, I was laughing nonstop. I was speaking in tongues nonstop. As a Presbyterian, you never speak in tongues. But that night I spoke in tongues. I was from the chosen frozen ones, now to the fiery ones. Wow! That day I was unstoppable. Once you see Jesus, you are unstoppable. Nothing stops you. You are not a coward. You are not a shy person, because the moment you see Jesus, you are drunk in the Spirit. You are a drunkard in the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, when they drink beer, they urinate any place under a tree, there is a toilet. You know, somewhere they turn around the car, is a toilet. They are not ashamed because of the influence of the alcohol. But when you have got the Spirit of God, hallelujah, you are not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So, I was saved 8 o'clock Sunday evening. Monday, I was going to surrender my guns to the police. And I got into the bus. I stood up with my clothes, which were stinking. I was smelling. The whole body was full of lice. If the lice had Christmas, they had Christmas on my body. Man, they enjoyed my blood. And I was thinking, even when I went to the bus, everyone said, oh, this smell, wow, terrible. But I stood up in the bus that night. Less than 24 hours in the Lord, I stood up and said, ladies and gentlemen, last night Jesus came into my life. And I was bubbling with joy. I don't know what I was talking about, but I remember talking about Jesus. Jesus has done something for me. And one big man said, you shut up. We don't preach on Mondays. They pushed me out of the bus. And I got to the next bus. I said, I'll start with the driver. I said, driver, last night Jesus came into my life. I'm a child of God. I was bubbling. The whole bus started crying. And one lady said, young boy, what must we do? I said, well, I don't know. I didn't know how to lead someone to Jesus. I was less than 24 hours in the Lord. A boy was quiet from the age of 6 to 20. And this time I'm talking in the bus. Now when people come to me and say, Stephen, how did the Lord call you into ministry? I said, I don't know. I really don't know. So other people, they say, I was born again, blah, blah, blah. I started working as a bank clerk or what, a manager or this lawyer. Then suddenly I had a call from the Lord. But me, I was saved at 8 o'clock in the morning. Monday I was preaching, and I've never stopped. So I don't know when God called me. So me, it was a mixed grill. Everything is salvation. The same day. Speaking in tongues, the same day. And following day, I'm preaching. So from that day up to this very day I'm talking, I've never stopped preaching. I get on the plane, the unfortunate person is the one who sits next to me. You can't sit next to me until you hear about the gospel. Amen. That's me. I go through immigration, I talk about Jesus. I fill up my car, I talk about Jesus. I go in checkers if they doing, I talk about Jesus. Nowhere I stop to talk about Jesus. Because when you see him, you are unstoppable. When you see Jesus, you can't stop. How do you stop? It's, you know, there are many people who love Jesus. But there are few people who are in love with Jesus. That's the difference. You can love Jesus, but not in love with Jesus. So when you are in love with Jesus, you can't stop talking about him. It's like you are falling in love with a pretty girl. Hey, brother, I'm in love. What? Who? Tell me the name. And even the girl said, you know what? I'm also in love with a boy. They talk about that relationship. You can't stop. And I remember, as I told you last time, I'm a fast driver. Very fast driver. But when I'm with Rachel in the car, I drive at 10 kilometers an hour. Because I've got the queen. I've got to have more time of talking with him. And now we are 48 years together in marriage. And we like to talk about the first time we love. And 2 weeks ago, she wrote me a text message on my birthday. And she says, ooh, I remember that time you proposed love to me. I felt crazy. I said, ooh, I had a miracle word from my mouth. And then when she said yes to me, I didn't know what to say next. So I prayed a long prayer. Because I was afraid to look at her on her face. I said, now, what do I say next? Oh, but God is good. So, Jesus was talking about here. Are we together? This is what he was saying. You know the truth. Once you know this truth, you are unstoppable. Because the world is full of lies. Lies in doctrine. Lies in so many things. People who are cheating, even Christians. In the last days, that the elect will be deceived. And that's why we need to be careful. That the elect, those who are elected in salvation, they will be deceived. Because there will be so many teachings coming. Then they answered Jesus, we are Abraham's descendants. How proud they were to be Abraham's descendants. And then have never been slaves of anyone. Listen what they are saying. We have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? That's a good question. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now you may say, well, I'm born again, I don't sin, I don't do that. But do you know, when God whispers in your life and talks to you, and he says, hey, John or Susan, go and speak to that businessman or that CEO. Maybe you are just a simple secretary. Say, God says, go and speak to our manager. Go and speak to that and so on and so on. Then you say, yes, Lord, I've heard your voice, but... Then you get your Bible, you go to the mountain there, you go and fast and pray first. All you are praying in the mountain, all you are reading the Bible in the mountain, it's sinful. Are we together? It's all sinful. Because the commander, God, has said, go. He doesn't say, go and pray, because the one who is sending you has already told you, go and pray. I mean, go and preach. Go and share. But you said, no, before I go, let me go and pray. That's contradicting what God is telling you. An example. God told me in Masingo in Zimbabwe, which was going, it used to be called what, Victoria, what, Fort Victoria. Masingo. And in Masingo, I'm preaching there, we had a crusade. God said, go and talk to the businessman. I said, oh, yes, Lord, I'm going. So I went to pray and read my Bible. And that bush where I was praying, God, please, you know, I want this man to be saved. Blah, blah, blah. Even tongues, I was speaking in tongues there. Blah, blah, blah. So when I came down from there, I'm preparing to go. Suddenly I hear that man had an accident and died. I missed the opportunity. God told me to go and speak to him. So all my praying, all my reading my Bible was sinful. God says, go. In military, when you say, he says, go, you do it. Even if you disagree with it, you ask questions later. But first, do it. That's in military. Amen. In military, join the military and said, what belongs to you is your soul. The body belongs to the army. And they squeeze that body for 6 months to squeeze out the Stellenbosch thinking. They squeeze out the Stellenbosch walking. They squeeze out that. They squeeze out the Stellenbosch laughing. They squeeze out the Stellenbosch behavior. Another 6 months, they pump in military thinking. You walk like a soldier, chest out. You talk like a soldier. You behave like a soldier. That's what Jesus, when he comes to you, he squeezes out the whole you of Stellenbosch and he pumps in the kingdom thinking. When you have got the kingdom thinking, you obey the kingdom way. You walk the kingdom way. You love the kingdom way. You love the kingdom way. Are we together? I was blessed, my brother here. Just before I came to preach, he hugged me. He says, brother, I love you. Man, he doesn't know what it meant to me. It was so precious. I almost wept. Brother, I love you. Just that word from my brother. Many people think a preacher doesn't need love. Because we are giving out all the time and we are parting many people. Oh, you're precious. You are a blessing. That's what we are giving out all the time. But many members, they don't think that we preachers, we need a blessing and encouragement. I have a habit in Malawi where every Tuesday with my wife, we visit our pastor. Just to go and bless him, pastor, the message on Sunday was powerful. Just to encourage him. Nothing else. We pray for him just for 15 minutes. We are there 15 minutes. Enough. But to encourage him. This man also needs encouragement. Are we together? He needs encouragement. He needs love. Like what my brother did to me. He did the biggest ministry into my life this morning. And so, here the Bible is... See, are we in time? 5 minutes. Oh, 20. Okay. Oh, praise God, 20. Hey, this brother, he promised me that at every minute you add another minute. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so Jesus said when one who commits sin is a slave. So the first slave, this first prisoner, is the one walking around in our streets here in Stellenbosch, in Joburg. These prisoners drive their BMW cars. They are called executive prisoners. You know, they are executive prisoners. They have never been arrested. They've never been arrested. Some are teachers, some are lawyers, some are doctors. But they are prisoners. You see these prisoners, you know, they can't stop smoking because they are a slave of the little thing that comes in their mouth. They are prisoners. They are prisoners when they go from this divorce, they go into another divorce. When you hate the first wife, you hate the second wife because you are used of hating someone without feeling the pain, without a conscience. And you read the newspapers of divorces and divorces every week. These are prisoners, executive prisoners. Some, they are in parliament, but are prisoners. The corruption we see in government now, they are prisoners. Embezzling, or we used to say embezzling, but it's stealing, really. Some are changing words in embezzlement. You know, that's a nice word there, but stealing. Are we together? They are stealing. In companies, stealing, using even, seminars which don't exist. They go to seminars which don't exist just to have an allowance. And so these are prisoners. They've never been arrested. They are in their homes. They swear. They talk rubbish. They say there's no God. And then we have prisoners who are intellectuals. They say a fool has said there's no God. So these are saying, I don't believe in God. But they are, a prisoner. They are bound just as I was before. They are prisoners. The devil has put some shackles around them. Prisoners who are intellectuals. They are well educated, but some of them are educated fools. Because the Bible says a fool has said there's no God. And so we go on and on. Then we've got political prisoners. They think, well, you Christians, you must not involve into politics. But God was a politician. Moses was a politician. Joshua was a politician. Now, we say, no, politics is dirty. No, politics is not dirty. My brother put some water here. He drank it. And I'll drink it. But if you put dirty water, that's what you're going to drink. So in parliament, if you put dirty people, you are going to have dirty bills. Are we together? In parliament, if you put dirty people, you are going to have dirty bills. That's why in Malawi, I encourage Christians to get involved in the political situation. In Malawi, I am a president of Presidential Prayer Breakfast. We formed this so as to get the president and the cabinet, all ambassadors, members of opposition. We called Presidential Prayer Breakfast. It's a prayer breakfast where we invite the president, all these opposition. They come, we preach the word to them. So because we call it presidential, he's the president, he has to come. he said we must be clever like what? Serpents. So we use the presidential to invite him and his cabinet to come. We know when he comes, all members of parliament will come, all opposition parties will come. And also, I am the chairman of the police service, a former gang leader. Now the chairman of the police service. Isn't that wonderful, eh? Praise the Lord. Because I know the police service, even they are police officers, they are prisoners themselves. They need to be arrested. They have the handcuffs. One time I preached in the police service. I said, you are a prisoner. I went to Port Elizabeth and went to these special branch police. They all had revolvers and had handcuffs, plain clothes. So I came here and said, I'm the Lieutenant General Stephen Lung. Huh? I said, yeah, but from above. From above. So I said, I've come to arrest you. They were all looking to arrest me. So I told them that you arrest other people, but your hearts are not arrested. So I preached the gospel, and many, three-quarters of them put up their hands to accept Jesus. So they are, even if they are police officers, they are prisoners. They are slaves to sin. Some beat their wives. Even if they are police officers, they are slaves. But we're also religious prisoners. Religious prisoners who are so much into the religious rituals and all these things of the church. I belong to this church, so we have to do what our church tells us. They are bound with these religious instructions in their church. But you can't talk about salvation. I remember telling you last time. Soon after I got born again, I was on fire for God. First time I went to my Presbyterian church. The pastor was preaching. He mentioned Jesus. I said, amen. Elders, shh, we don't say amen here. Then he preached again about the blood of Jesus. I said, hallelujah. Shh. So I was stretching, so I had to hold my mouth the whole service for a group. I knew I was going to say amen again. But people are so bound by all the things that were made in the church. They've kept those, you know, doctors say drink three times a day tablets. And we obey those rules of the doctor. Three times a day. And we swallow those tablets. But when Jesus says, seek me three times a day, we don't. We don't. Because we are so bound with this religion, you can be a slave to it. So the moment I came to Jesus, spirit filled, I was delivered from my religious Presbyterian rituals. And I became a child of God. And when I became a child of God, I started going to the same church where I was a slave to preach to them, to save them from bondage. Now, you go to the Presbyterian church in Malawi where I belong to. There is fire of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, once upon a time, we were told by N.H.E. Kerek in those days of the apartheid era. One old lady in her 90s was saved. And she came to the church and the pastor, the Dumini, preached. And the lady said, amen. I said, shh. Hallelujah. Shh. And she went on disturbing the Dumini. And the Dumini sent two elders, like my brother and me, huge, to carry the lady out of the church. So they carried her and their legs were going like this. And she said, praise God. Jesus was carried by one donkey, I've been carried by two. So if the elders here carry you, just said you are carried by two or four. Praise the Lord. So there's religious bondage prisoners who are bound by the, but also prisoners of marriages. Where marriages are not going well, they are sour, there's no joy, that first love has died, those kisses have stopped, all full of arguments for petty little things. They're so bound by all these things. Where did that first love go? Where did that first love go? And so there's no real that harmony where you see that intimacy, that first intimacy has gone, has vanished. The passion for love for each other. And these people have never been arrested by the love of Jesus. In Malawi, there's a prisoner who is trusted very much, who has been there. They trust him. They gave him, he's nicknamed Nyapara. Nyapara. N-Y-A, Nyapara. Can we say Nyapara? Yeah, Nyapara can be sent even to groceries alone. Can be sent to go and buy something alone. He's called a Nyapara. He's still a prisoner. He wears the prison clothes, but they can trust him to go and look after other prisoners. Are we together? He's a Nyapara. Now we have got many Nyaparas even in our churches. They look after other prisoners. But they are called Nyaparas. But still wearing the prison clothes. And some they've even been given elders. He's a Nyapara. Very trusted, but a Nyapara. And so we see these Nyaparas all over the world. And then there's prisoner number two. Prisoner number two is the one who was arrested but sent to jail. He's there in jail with the four walls. The same we see this prisoner is there, was arrested because of the things he did. But as I preached in Sacramento in the United States, I said, you are a prisoner, but one problem you have. The moment you are released from prison, you become prisoner number one again. You become prisoner number one. And when you are arrested, you become prisoner number two. But when you are released, prisoner number one again. So you still have the cycle of your problems. You go on and on with your problems. And so Jesus said that if the Son of Man shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. I was in these four walls of the church, born again. I love the Lord, but I never forgave a white man. The white man who adopted me, I hated him very much. But during the day, we would go together and preach the gospel. Many people came to Christ, but I was still a prisoner of racism. I was a prisoner of racism. Every night I wanted to kill this white man. But he gave me good food. He gave me, for the first time, I slept under bed sheets. He gave me new clothes. A very good Afrikaner. Hey, God is a sense of humor. Eh? Ooh. He spoke Afrikaner English. And then every night I would want to kill him. Every night, 5 years, I struggled and I would hear the voice of the Lord. Stephen, what are you trying to do? And I would turn around. 5 years I struggled. Until one day I went to Victoria Falls. I started praying, God, I'm a prisoner here of hatred, of race, racism. I hate this white man. God, why? So I said, God, you didn't finish your job in my life. Yes, you saved me, but you didn't complete all everything in my life. So I'm quitting about preaching the word of God. So I went to Victoria Falls. I gave God 7 days. I said, if you don't deal with me in 7 days, I'm tearing my Bible page by page, and I'm going back as a guerrilla fighter. So first day, fasting and praying, no food, no water. 7th day, I said to God in the morning, God, you have me today. This is your final day. If you don't do anything, something is wrong. So by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm so weak. I hear the voice, clear voice, tangible voice, soft voice. Say, Steve, read Genesis 41. And I read Genesis 41. But the main verses were verse 51 and 52. 51 is the story of Manasseh. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh. The meaning is, it is because God has made me forget all my troubles and my father's household. Number 2 was Ephraim. It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Now, Manasseh, he was calling, when he called Manasseh, this is what he was saying. God has made me forget my troubles and my father. And then he was saying, Ephraim, God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. That's what he was saying. He didn't mention those names like you Afrikaners and English people just name a name. Just a name, because it sounds good. No, you know, we joke about the Chinese, they take a plate, when they throw the plate, and they say, Ting Tong, they say, our son is Ting Tong. That's a joke. If you say, Xiang Xiang, you say, Xiang Xiang. So don't throw a plate, please. But, you know, in Hebrew names, the names meant something. I like Zulu names. If they say Dumisani, Sifiso, Amandla, you know, they are saying something about that child. Are we together? And so, there was a meaning. Manasseh, God has made me forget all my troubles. I hated this white man. But when God used Manasseh and Ephraim to process my inner healing, God gave me the inner healing through those names. Then I went to this white man. I said, please, brother, for 5 years I've been trying to kill you. Forgive me. Huh? You know, white people, they become red, red when they are frightened. The man was red. We black people, we become pitch black. So we hugged each other. Both our shoulders were wet with tears, crying. And that was the forgiveness God gave me. God then prepared, 51 years later, I'm preaching in Harare, in Rufaro Stadium, in the big stadium there. Thousands of people, 40,000 in the stadium. As I preached, many people come forward. I'm praying for these people. One lady jumped up. My sickness is gone. I'm healed. Then she comes to me and says, I want to accept Jesus. She accepts Jesus. I said, God bless you. Come again tomorrow. He said, no, one more problem. I said, what is your problem? He said, from the way you have said your testimony, you must be my son. And that was my mother. The boy she dumped at the age of 4. Now, 51 years later, the same boy became an evangelist. She didn't know that the boy I'm dumping today will travel around the world. She didn't know that this boy I'm dumping today will preach at Stellenbosch. She didn't know. She dumped me as a trash, rejected. But God, who was rejected, Jesus, who was rejected, picked me up, found me, made me what I am today. And so I had to forgive my mother, not from the lips, but from the heart. When I forgave my mother, we hugged and cried over each other's shoulders. And I was about to ask her, where have you been all these years? And that voice again says, Stephen, don't ask her. Up to now, she went to the grave. I never asked her. I never asked her. Sometimes when you ask and dig the past, they trouble you again. So I didn't ask the past. I forgot about it. Then years later, found my father when he was 98 years old. Led him to Jesus. Forgave him. God had put Ephraim ahead of me, not Manasseh. When you put Ephraim ahead of you, you have the fruits of the Spirit in you. The fruits of the Spirit is forgiveness, joy, peace, reconciliation. All that is the fruit of the Spirit. When you are reconciled with your enemy. Amen? So, I was a prisoner in this war of the church for many years, but a prisoner also in our relationship with my family. I was a prisoner, but God saved me. Now, Philemon, as I close, I've got 5 minutes, yes. When the Lord saved me, that day I came like, when I went to the police, I said, I'm under arrest. He said, where's the police officer? I said, you couldn't arrest me, but Jesus has arrested my heart. Philemon chapter 1, verse 1. Philemon chapter 1, verse 1. Listen what Paul says. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. These two prisoners, they lose their rights to heaven. The first prisoner loses his rights to heaven. He has no right of inheritance, of eternal life, of joy, of peace. He doesn't have the rights. He has no inheritance. Prisoner number 2, he has no inheritance. He can't inherit anything. He can't go to the funeral of his wife or his child. He has no rights. He loses all his rights. But when you come a prisoner of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, as many as received him, what happened? Hey, you don't know that verse. As many as received it, he made what? He made them that children of God, sons of God. So as a son, you have got inheritance. So I've got inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. I've got inheritance of eternal life. But I've got inheritance of joy, peace, even the way I walk. It all speaks about my joy, my peace inside. Amen. So when you become a child, you have been arrested by the love of Jesus. When you are arrested by the love of Jesus, that means your whole life is arrested. Even your peace is arrested. Even your marriage is arrested. You can't have one part of your life arrested. When you are arrested by the love of God, that means all about you are arrested by the love of Jesus. I met Rachel when she was a banker. Oh, when I used to look at her, I loved the way she walked. Oh, my goodness me. How am I? I said, hey, I love this girl. So she would pass by, I would see, look at her. One day, I'll get her. Ooh. So I proposed love. She said, yes. Now, that yes, led to the wedding. That wedding, she says, yes, I belong to you wholeheartedly. All other men, no, except you. So when she came to me, she came with all her clothes, her shoes, her degrees. Even her signature changed. Her surname changed. You understand? Is that right? Is that what happened to you? Yeah. Her father brought her to you. They didn't bring the head only, which was pretty. No. They didn't bring the little wonderful legs. No. They brought the whole body. They say, hey, brother, here is this daughter of you. And he says, oh, thank you, sir. You took the ring and placed it. He said, Dad, now this is mine for good. Amen. So that day, she was, what was your maiden name? Smith. To what? Person. From that day, I pronounce this man as Mr. and Mrs. Person. In Africans, we do. But you have white people are just smile. So her surname changed, and then a week later, she went to the bank to change her signatures. Do you understand what I'm saying? So she was, if he touched her shoulder, her head, she comes apart here, he never wiggled. Who are you? No. I love you. That's what she was doing. But if you came and touched, strictly prohibited. You understand what I mean? So when you are arrested by the love of Jesus, the whole of you belongs to Christ. That means your house, your business, everything about you belongs to him. Nothing that belongs to you, but because you are arrested, the whole being, even your signature changes, even your surname changes, because you are not a Christian. No, you are a believer in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? Are we together? Because you find prostitutes who are called Christians. Even Jesus never used that word Christian or believers. And believers, they will follow Jesus. Amen. And in conclusion, as we do always, I've shut my laptop and my Bible. Serious Stellenbosch conclusion. First baby, then my wife was pregnant. And I used to pray for the baby every day. And I would sing for the baby every day. Wow. And I would make sure that I was there when my wife was struggling to walk in their pregnancy. Did all the chores of washing dishes. Africans, normally we don't wash. But I'm not an African. I'm not a white person. I'm a believer. I help my wife. Do you understand what I mean? I help my wife. I do the washing. I do the dishes. But Africans, mm-mm. White people, mm-mm. But believers will do. You understand what I mean? Hey, please say yes. You understand? Yeah. So when our baby was born, I said to the doctor, I want to be the first black man to help my wife give birth. He said, near. I said, no, I want to be there. So I was given all the, you know, medical gowns and so on, gloves, you know, to help my wife give birth. So after the baby was born, I said, no more. Only one finished clap. I was terrified. I've never been terrified like that day. It's clap. But you know, women, they come to you and say, I want another one. So we ended up with five. Now, but when they came home with the baby, we were excited with the baby. You know, in African culture, all the neighbors, they come to see the baby. They come to say congratulations. It's different to you who come by invitation. But in our culture, everyone comes to see the baby and they look at the baby, they bring gifts and food and so on, and they carry. And now the house is full of women. So you say, hey, I can't sit among women. So I leave the ladies alone in the lounge and I go to the bedroom. So those ladies are carrying the baby from this hand to that hand. Oh, some of them said, look, why? The forehead like his father. Then I go to the mirror to look at the forehead. I say, yes. The forehead looks like me. Yes. And they say, look at the nose like his father. Oh, I go to the mirror again to look at my nose. Yes. But if my wife goes out and those visitors, they look at the child, they said, but look at the fingers. They look like the bus driver. I said, oh, the taxi driver. What went wrong? You understand what I'm saying? God is excited when we resemble Jesus. Because when you are arrested by the love of Jesus, you resemble him. You walk like him. You love like him. You forgive like him. You reconcile like him. Because God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So when you are arrested by Jesus, you learn about reconciliation in Christ Jesus. So there, you become a slave of love. A slave of love, a slave of peace, a slave of forgiveness, a slave of reconciliation. You become a slave of Christ. Are you a prisoner? Which prison are you? When you look in your life, which prison are you? You say, God, maybe I'm prison number one, or number two, or number three. You say, God, maybe I'm arrested in this religious prison, or worship prison where there's no power inside, there's no excitement, there's no joy, there's no passion for God. Why have you lost that passion? Do you have a prayer life? Do you pray earnestly? Do you talk to your father? Maybe you are a prison of laziness. A prison of, you know, procrastination. I'll do it tomorrow. Then tomorrow comes tomorrow. You have never completed that passion with God in your life. As a Christian, how many Christian books do you read? I didn't go to school, but I make sure every month I read 2 books. That helps my spiritual life. Are you a person who is hungry for God? Passionate about God? Are you a prisoner of love? Like my brother did here, just spontaneously, just said, "Brother, I love you." He didn't know the ministry has done into my life. Just that word. Are you a prisoner? Number three, where you say, "God, I've been arrested by the love of Jesus. I want to go all out for Christ." Or maybe you are failing in one way or another area. Say, "God, I really want to be your real prisoner completely, all my life. And tonight I'm going to share my full story. But I want you to have a new testimony this morning." You say, "God, thank you that now I'm arrested by the love of Christ. I'm not just loving Jesus, but I'm in love with God." When you are in love with God, we go, we say, oh, out and out for Christ. You are out and out for Christ. No reservation, but out and out for Christ. Are you that prisoner who is out and out for Christ? If you are not, say, "God, I need freshness in my life this morning. I need freshness in my life." Shall we stand?
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.